This is an ABC podcast.
Nah. I rang him. I'm just like, what happened, mate?
That's 18-year-old Grung Kwol trolling his brother over the fact he's been picked for the Socceroos first. In the next week, the teenager will almost certainly make his debut for Australia. The Socceroos are playing two friendlies against New Zealand as preparation for the World Cup. Kwol is emblematic of a renewed Socceroos squad. There's a bit of hype, so should we believe it? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Daniel Garb has covered the Socceroos for well over a decade, including three World Cups. Garby, who is Grung Kwol? Why has he got so many Australian football fans so excited?
Because we love a young sensation, and he is that. He's just turned 18 years of age. He burst onto the scene against Barcelona, of all teams, for the A-League All-Stars.
Grung Kwol, the youngster, accelerates. Kwol still going. The chance for Grung Kwol. Chips it over. Oh, and he's put it just wide. What a chance for the youngster.
Not only does he have the game, but he's got the attitude to go with, which excites us even more. He's got personality. He's not afraid of the limelight.
Me and my brothers, we had this tape of, like, the Socceroos, and I can't remember much about it, but I just remember players like Bresciano, Tim Cahill and stuff. But I remember we used to watch that legit, like, every day, just the same tape. And it was just like one of the sickest things ever.
He's got excellent bloodlines in his family. His older brother, Alu's already playing in Germany with Stuttgart. We are starved of talents, and when one comes along that gives us the inkling that they may be a little bit special and follow in the likes of, without wanting to link him to other names, the superstars that have flown the Aussie flag with aplomb before, yeah, there's reason to be enthused. And Grung Kwol has the characteristics to get you excited that might happen. Doesn't mean he definitely will. We all know there's been plenty of cautionary tales before, but there is an inkling that he has the ability to be a world-class player at 18 years of age. He's set for a move to Europe shortly. He may be a Socceroos squad bolter. Yeah, get excited. Follow the storyline for the next couple of months.
He has quite an astonishing backstory too. He wasn't born in Australia. How did he come to live down under?
Yeah, born in Sudan. The family fled to Egypt, and then he became a refugee in Australia with his family, like so many others in recent times that have made such a big contribution to Australian sport across many codes, be it Australian rules, be it basketball, and certainly football. And a lot of them come from Africa, those refugees, with a passion for the game, and they adapt to it very quickly, and they add so much. We've seen the likes of Awamabil and Thomas Deng be great contributors to the Socceroos in recent times and wonderful ambassadors for the country and for their people. And the Kwols are the same. Most certainly, they moved to Shepparton. They come through the Victorian football scene, and for some reason, the Central Coast Mariners were able to nab both Alu and now Grung as well.
Urena. Kwol. It's Kwol! And it is Kwol! Garangski's done it and the Mariners lead this young star.
And Grung will make a name for himself, no doubt, at the start of the A-League season with the Mariners before he moves to Europe, undoubtedly, when the January transfer window opens. So after he broke onto the scene against Barcelona, everyone thought, all right, well, he's bound for Europe now. They'll take him. But he was only 17, so he couldn't move yet. He wasn't actually allowed to legally. But as soon as he turned 18, the understanding is that deal was done. And Newcastle United apparently have got the deal in the works already. And once the January transfer window opens, he'll be moving over there and on big money at Newcastle and probably loaned out somewhere else to develop, which is always a worry from an Australian point of view because you get fearful they won't get enough game time. But if you're him, you're backing yourself. And obviously the money is something you can't ignore no matter how old you are.
As you touched on, there's pitfalls, but let's go blue sky. Where's the ceiling? How good could this player be?
The feeling is from people who have watched him very closely and know football very well that he can be a world-class player. Like after the Barcelona game, I spoke to his agent, John Grimaud, and I asked him that exact question. And he said, I don't want to go too far with it. The best description I'll give you is he can be a regular Champions League player. Oof. So that means a player for a top four club in one of the bigger leagues in the world in a few years. You know, that's probably the expectation we can realistically have. And that's exciting enough because, yes, we've got a few Champions League players at the moment, Matty Ryan and Aaron Moy, and we've had a few in recent times. Strikers are different because they're very hard to develop. They are the most valuable players in the game for good reason. And, you know, unless you're a powerhouse nation, they're hard to come by. We know that ourselves from Mark Viduka, from Harry Kiel, from Tim Cahill. We had them all at the same period, but they're few and far between. And we're not the only nation that struggles to produce those players. He's not a big Mark Viduka type player, but he looks like being a striker that can break open games and score big goals. And they can be so valuable for national teams because sometimes you can create opportunity after opportunity. If you don't have someone there to put the ball in the back of the net, it matters little. So the fact that it's a player in that position that is potentially a future superstar, potentially a world-class player, that makes it even more exciting.
Let's zoom out to that national perspective. He's one of 31 players selected for two friendlies with New Zealand. Part of me is excited by the prospect of an emerging talent on the cusp of a World Cup. Part of me is concerned that we're looking to a teenager for hope. Does this somewhat speak to a lack of depth?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't think we should be looking to him to fly the flag at the World Cup. He might not even make the squad. There's every chance he doesn't. They can take 26 to this World Cup. That would give him a much better chance because you can maybe carry a project player if you like. If I'm Football Australia, and these discussions may have already happened, they may not need to happen. Graham Arnold may have this opinion already. I'd be saying, listen, we got 26 players. Take the kid. We could use a good story right now. And he's a hugely talented player. Who knows? He might show you something in training and his youthful exuberance might help the team there, like Daniel Arzani did 4 years ago in Russia, but he was ready to play. So I would like to see him go for that reason, for the strong storyline, but he might be good enough to be in the mix for the team already. I can't see him starting come the World Cup, come the first game at least, but you never quite know. But he's got something that they'll look at closely in these games against New Zealand. And potentially, you know, for the Qatar World Cup.
As Graham said, it's an opportunity for himself, and he believes, you can tell by his answer how much he believes in himself. But you know, it's an area of the pitch that we need players. You know, that up front, a winger with a 1v1 action and pace and can put the ball in the back of the net. You know, we're always looking for those type of players. And again, I don't care what age they are. It's as long as they've got the ability and the quality, then I'm more than prepared to look at him.
Here's an interesting storyline. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but if there is a story that you can maybe do that with, if Garen Cole does make the World Cup squad, and if he plays, two big ifs, and then if he scores, there's a third big if. But if he does, he'd actually be the second youngest player in the history of the World Cup to do that, to score at a World Cup, after the legendary Pele. So wouldn't that be something for Australian football to get behind? Get ahead of ourselves, people, and enjoy that.
That's the kind of blue sky thinking I've come to expect from you, Garvey. There are 7 debutants in this squad. There's also 10 players who have 10 or fewer caps. How will Graham Arnold use the two different fixtures against New Zealand to test this squad overall?
Yeah, I think he'll look at a few players in the Brisbane camp, definitely. And then I think the New Zealand camp, he might leave a few behind to get ready for the A-League season and take maybe a smaller group of players over to New Zealand for the second game. There's a lot of young midfielders that have emerged over the last couple of months at the start of the European season that are exciting him and exciting Socceroos fans. Tyrese Francois, who plays for Fulham. Cammy Devlin, who did really well in Scotland last season, who started this campaign brilliantly once more. Keanu Backus, who we know from the A-League, has done really well in Scotland. So he's another one who's emerged. Connor Metcalf is playing in Germany and he's really exciting. He's a big talent who came through at Melbourne City. There's 4 or 5 really good young midfielders especially who won't all make the squad but are giving Graham Arnold a number of selection issues perhaps.
You know, it's great that I can pick 31 and actually have to make some terrible phone calls to players that I left out. The boys going back to club, getting fit, working hard. You can see the boys in Europe are playing games every 3 days, 4 days. So they will be the fittest they've ever been.
The other one is Jason Cummings in attack, who's the Scot who has an Australian mother. And we all wanted to be in the squad for the qualifiers. Didn't quite make it, but now Arnie's put him in. He gives the attack some vibrancy, perhaps. So there's a number of options there that are pretty exciting, I think, for Australian fans. And yeah, it's not the strongest squad we've ever had, but I think the talent pool is actually growing close to that World Cup, which is encouraging.
one player who's not part of the squad, Tom Rogic. He wasn't part of the World Cup qualifier wins over the UAE and Peru because he withdrew for personal reasons. Now he's been left out of this 31-man squad. What's going on? Can you cut through the speculation and help us understand?
Yeah, well, there aren't too many people who understand it, including Graham Arnold, which is interesting. The curious case of Tom Rogic laid bare in that sense. He is a very private person who doesn't give much away, even to the people who are closest to him. All we've been told is that he is okay.
The most important thing for me is that he's happy. He's good. He's back on the ground. He's training. And it's great to see him at West Brom. And now, again, he's just got to get on the field and get training, get playing and perform.
So he's back playing football, which was a worry. I mean, we all thought that when he left Celtic, he had another deal lined up, done and dusted, and his future was mapped out for him. That wasn't the case because it took him until after the window had closed, the transfer window, for him to sign with someone. And it's not a club that we anticipated he would go to in West Brom in the Championship. But the good news is he's back playing and he wants to be, according to all reports, in the Socceroos squad for the World Cup.
And it's just so great that Tommy's back. We need our best players. And I've never held a grudge against anyone ever, and there is no reason to have a grudge.
And they'll open their arms to him. I'm sure there was enormous frustration from players and coaching staff that he withdrew from the qualifiers in the manner that he did. Personal reasons, we all know now, are justified for missing anything because you don't know what someone's going through. But he never told anyone personally what the situation was. So there was a lot of uncertainty around it and therefore uncertainty as to whether he actually wanted to go to the World Cup.
I've known Tommy for a long, long time, since 2010. I know how Tommy is and I know what he wants to do, and he loves the Socceroos. He's given, you know, 10 years of commitment to the Socceroos and has never waned.
Now the understanding is that yes, he does. He's going to train with West Brom during this break. Makes complete sense that he wasn't included in the squad.
He's a player that's top quality. He brings a lot to the national team. But again, at this moment, he hasn't been selected for New Zealand because he hasn't kicked the ball in a game since May. It's all about Tommy getting out there and working hard and making sure that he's in the best form of his life.
And I think once he plays a few games there, he'll be in that World Cup squad because he's arguably our best outfield player when he's up and going. So I can see Tom Rogic in Qatar, and whatever happened before, now that we've qualified, probably won't matter too much because he is an integral part of the team and they'll welcome him with open arms.
Excited to see how this Socceroos squad goes in these two fixtures against New Zealand. Daniel Garb, thanks for your time.
Thanks, mate.
Headlines. Carlton fans may have missed finals, but they're celebrating Paddy Cripps' Brownlow medal win. The Blues skipper won the Best and Fairest Award by a vote from Brisbane's Lachie Neal.
Carlton, P. Cripps, 3 votes. And I declare the winner for the 2022 Brownlow medal is Patrick Cripps of the Carlton Football Club.
There was a modicum of controversy. Cripps had been suspended for rough conduct on Lions player Callum Archie after round 21. That would have left him ineligible and ruled him out for the final two games of the season. But the club successfully appealed that decision. Cripps went on to win 3 votes in the final game of the season against Collingwood to claim victory by a solitary vote. Cam Smith has notched his first victory in the Saudi-backed LIV Golf League, claiming the Chicago event by 3 shots. The winner's check was $4 million. Australian Grace Brown has won silver in the women's time trial at the World Road Cycling Championships in Wollongong. And in tennis, they might have lost to Germany, but Australia's Davis Cup team is into the final 8 of the competition. Victories over France and Belgium ensure they will be part of finals week in Malaga. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. If you want to read up more on any of these stories, go to abc.net.au/sport. Thanks to Paramount Plus and Channel 7 for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.